October 5th, 1981, Signal Hill, California. Peggy McClanahan, interviewed by Kay Briegel.
Where were you born?
In Macon, Georgia.
And how long did you stay there, or what did your family do there?
My father was lit the street lamps and a lumber inspector.
A lumber inspector?
Lit street lamps for the city of Macon, Georgia.
And did they just come to Signal Hill from there, or no. Was there someplace else in between?
My father was, the war broke out, my father signed up for the war and was shipped to Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. And then after he found a home, he sent for my mom and my sister and myself. We came to El Paso, Texas, and we lived at Five Points on San Miguel Street. Then from there, we moved to Ohio Street in El Paso, Texas, where my baby sister was born. And then...
What was El Paso like then? Or do you remember
I can't much? Remember. I wasn't old enough, you know, to really take any... But I can remember my baby sister was born, and then my dad... The war ended, and my dad went to work for the railroad company there as a boiler maker. And then we left El Paso, Texas, and came to Los Angeles, and we lived on Floral Drive in Los Angeles for less than a year. And my dad at that time was working as a welder in oil fields for Signal Hill Pipeline Construction Company, and they had their office on California Avenue just north of the bridge. And then after the moved into the little house that we're in now, we stayed there for, well, in fact, I'm still living there.
Did he work for the Signal Hill Pipeline Company when you were in Los Angeles?
Yes. And he also, then, that's why we moved to Signal Hill, because a man that worked with him had lived in this house, and then he built another house, so he let my mom and dad have this one.
And what year was that?
1922.
So the first oil well had already been brought in on Signal Hill.
And the big fire had already been on Signal Hill where the side of the hill burned. And when we first came here, it wasn't even called Signal Hill, it was called Burnett. And we had our own post office. We had a steam train that stopped at Burnett and California Avenue, and you could get on it and go all the way into L.A. And
what was the post office like? Was there just a little building, or was there a store?
The building is still there, but it's in the four units now, apartments. It's right there just east of California Avenue and on Burnett Street. And the furthest west part of the building had the little mailboxes in it with the little glasses, and you had your key, and you opened them, got your mail out. Mrs. Pierce was the postmaster, or mistress, rather, and Mr. Pierce, her husband, ran the butcher shop, and Mr. Mullen ran the grocery store. And then we had our own drugstore, and it was run by a man by the name of John Adelston. And then he moved up to where Scotty's cocktail parlor is now on Long Beach Boulevard, and had his drugstore there. And then we had the above the Dixie Cafe, which has been wrecked, was on Orange and Burnett. We had our Masonic Temple there, and they had the Alta Loma, and the El Patrol was the name of the Eastern Star, and they had the Job's Daughters there. And the Job's Daughters was Bethel 109, and they now are in Artesia. And that's about all I know.
That was the town of Burnett?
Right. Oh, and we had the Olympic Refinery, and the tank cars used to come and park there on Atlantic, on California Avenue.
We're going to start again. How long were all these... You were going to tell about the Olympic Refinery first.
Well, it was between Burnett Street and 25th Street on the west side of California Avenue, and the tankers used to come and park there on the east side of California Avenue, and they would load the oil into them, and then the steam train would come and take them on to different places. And we used to have an awful bridge over Willow Street. You went up a great big hill, then you leveled off, and then you come down a big hill so the train could go underneath it. And my sister used to walk the railroad tracks. They had a bridge over Hill Street, too, and she used to walk up over that, but I never did because I was a scaredy cat.
Did the train stop? You said it stopped to pick up?
For passengers, yeah, at Burnett and California Avenue.
And where could you go?
Up into Los Angeles.
And where, you didn't go the other way?
No. Well, no, because to go downtown, we had the red car over on Long Beach Boulevard, and then we also had good bus transportation then. Better bus transportation than what we got now.
But the, you could take a bus to downtown Long Beach then?
Yeah. Or we could take the little red car that run along, well, you know where that bridge is, the, over California Avenue now between Burnett Street and 23rd Street? Well, down there, there was the railroad tracks and train tracks, and you'd get on a little red car there, and it'd take you down over to Redondo and down Redondo and along 3rd Street and right down onto the Pine Avenue and down Pine Avenue along Ocean. Then there was another one that took 7th Street and down Pine Avenue. You could ride it for a nickel.
How much did it cost to take the train to Los Angeles?
75 cents. We had a lot of fun then, too.
Did you go to school in Signal Hill?
No, we didn't have a school in Signal Hill. I went to Burnett Junior, Burnett Grammar School, the old Hamilton Junior High School, which is where Business and Technology Division of the City College is now. And then I graduated from Poly High School. And then I took 2 years of postgraduate night school at, from Poly High. And then I went to work for the Auto Exchange and Wrecking Company, which was where Frank Brothers Furniture Store is now. I worked there in the office until I got married, and then I retired and never worked since. That's the story of my life.
Well, I don't know about that. What was Burnett School like when you went there?
It was a two-story school.
And what year did you go? Do you remember?
I think I started in about the fourth grade, and it went to the eighth grade. And then I went 9th and 10th to Hamilton Junior High, and then I went to Poly High. But now I don't Burnett School and go 6th grade. Then you have 7th, 8th, and 9th at the junior high, and then go to Poly.
And did you like school?
I had to like it because I had strict parents. If I didn't go to school, I would have got it.
But you didn't enjoy going?
I think I did. I think I liked school. It was different than what it is now because there wasn't so much foolishness. You got the basic learning, more down-to-earth things that you had to learn, reading, writing, arithmetic. And the classes weren't, the schools weren't as crowded as they are now either.
And about how many kids went to the school, or how many rooms were there, could you?
I'd say maybe there was 18 rooms on the two floors of the building. But I don't know how many kids went.
And it was just one building? With
yeah.
The whole school?
Yeah.
There weren't any?
No bungalows nor nothing like there is now. No, just one big building. The principal's office was in that, and the nurse's office was in it, and all your classrooms.
Okay. You described the post office and the store and all that. Was that at the time that you were in elementary school, or how long
yes,
did that...
Yes, in elementary school.
How long did that continue like that?
I'd say maybe 3 years.
And then what happened?
Well, the city incorporated.
Oh, okay.
And then they got their own deal, and the post office just went out of business.
Okay. Let's go back then. You said that there was a Masonic Hall.
Right.
And there were other Masonic clubs.
Right.
Were there any other clubs in town that you knew about, or?
Well, they had, I can't remember of any other. I don't think they had any other clubs. Because everything that I can remember doing, we did through the Masonic Order. But I'm sure there was church clubs and things like that.
Yeah, did you go to church when you first came here?
Sure.
What church did you go to?
We went to the old church that was razed on 5th and Locust, the First Christian Church. Then we went to Bethany Baptist, which was at that time on Hill and Olive, and now it's over on Stearns and Lakewood. No, Stearns and Clark, isn't it?
Well,
Saddleway or somewhere anyhow. And now I go to Signal Hill Baptist Church.
So when you first came, did you have to go to Long Beach Church? Wasn't there a closer one, or why did you choose
there
that one?
There probably was, but when we came to Long Beach, the people that my mother and father became acquainted with, that's where they went. So we all went together on a Sunday, and then we'd come home and have a picnic.
What was it like? What was it, as you looked at the top of the hill, what was it like when you first came, or when you first remembered?
It had some oil derricks, but not like they got, you know, if the oil was discovered and everything. There was a few oil derricks, but other than that, and there was a lot of Japanese gardens. But they all had to go by the wayside for the oil.
What did they grow?
Oh, we used to go get corn, string beans, and beautiful flowers. I can't remember the name of the street, but there used to be a beautiful one. I think Temple is the one that runs north and south. I don't know what the one that runs east and west, but that used to be all in Japanese gardens there. Clear up to Hill Street. And it was, and when the flowers would bloom, it'd be real pretty and colorful.
And were there houses up there, too?
So were the Japanese people in, yeah. I think it hasn't been too long ago that they wrecked that one that was on the corner of Temple and whatever the other street is, where the man lived that had the garden and everything there. But it's gone now. His condos are in there.
But do you remember the mansions that were supposed to be on top of the hill?
Yes. And there used to be another beautiful home called Delaney was a big developer of oil. And he had a beautiful home on Atlantic Avenue where the Bixby Knowles Towers is now. He had a real nice home there with servants' quarters and everything.
And what was the rest of Signal Hill like? Was it still mostly rural, or was it building up where, you know, people came who worked in the oil business, or?
It built up in a hurry. It seemed like one day there wouldn't be nothing there, and the next day somebody would be building on the lot. But I didn't like it when they tore down the old wooden oil derricks, because I thought they were really picturesque. And then they put up the steel ones, and they took down the steel ones.
How did things change when the city of Signal Hill was incorporated? You started to tell about that before.
Well, we lost. Burnett was no longer Burnett. We became Signal Hill. And then they went through and changed the names of the streets and everything so that they would, well, they told it, from what my mom and dad told us, that it was so it would be with the same as the city of Long Beach. Like now the street I live on is Vernon Street, and there's some part of it over in Long Beach, too. And when we first lived there, it was Rose Avenue. And then the street south of me is 25th Street, and that used to be called Nevada Street. But so it would go in with Signal Hill, I mean in with Long Beach, they made it 25th Street.
How else did things change? You said the post office, did it move, or did they just change the name of it, or?
No, they just did away with it. I don't know whether the post office did away with it or the city did away with it, but we just no longer had it. When it became Signal Hill, we got our mail marked Long Beach, California.
And was it delivered to your house then?
Mm-hmm. We didn't have to go to the post office no more.
But was the store still there, and the drugstore?
Mm-hmm. And the store was there for quite a little while, and then I don't know what happened, but they moved across the street with the store, and Mr. Rush bought it. Now his daughter is quite active in shrine work, and I think I could get you her phone number and you could talk to her too. Ravay is her name.
So the store moved across the street and you then said...
Finally condemned that building and that was the end of the store and close by.
Where was the next place, the next closest place you could go to buy things that you needed to buy?
Well, we went up on Wardlow Road. There was a Smith's Market on the south side, and Mr. Black had a market on the north side of Cerritos and Wardlow Road.
Hmm.
And when they had that ban, you know, they couldn't sell meat on Sundays in Long Beach. Well, the Smith's Market, it was half in Long Beach and half in Signal Hill. So they took their produce and moved it to the back of the store and brought their meat market up to the front so they could sell their meat on Sundays.
Where did you go when you wanted to buy clothes or things that you couldn't buy?
Oh, into downtown Long Beach. We had an old Army and Navy store on 4th and Pine Avenue. And J.C. Penney's was up about 6th and Pine. And we had a show, I think it was called the Tracy Theater, on 4th and Pine. And we had a Bon Marché store, and Wise Company, Walker's, and Buffum's. And I think that was about all the stores we had.
Did you ever go to the Pine?
Oh, sure. That was a place where we used to go when we'd been real good, and that was our treat to get to go to the Pine. They had theaters along there. They had the Silver Spray Pier, and it had a lot of amusements. And we had the old Pine Avenue Pier that had the big glass place on the end of it. And we used to go there. My daddy used to like to fish off of the old Pine Avenue Pier. They run a boat from the old Pine Avenue Pier out to a barge for those that wanted to go fishing.
Did you ride on the roller coaster or anything?
No.
You said you were afraid to go across the bridge.
I wouldn't go on the roller coaster. I used to ride the Dodgems and go to the plunge, and I didn't even go on the Ferris wheel. I would ride the merry-go-round.
What was the plunge like? You mean the bathhouse?
Uh-huh. We called it the plunge. It was Long Beach Bathhouse. It was real nice. You could go there and swim indoors, or you could go out underneath the pike and go out onto the ocean, which was real nice. We used to do that, and then when you come in from the ocean, you had to take a shower before you could go back into the plunge. But it was kept up nice. Used to get the best hamburgers and hot dogs on the pike. They don't make them like they made them then. You had sweet pickle relish and everything on them, not just the bun and mayonnaise. And they had a lot of games of skill, as they called them, where you threw balls at bottles and tried to knock them over for prizes, or you threw dots at balloons to get prizes. Then they had a penny toss that you threw pennies and tried to get them in like ashtrays to win prizes.
What else did you do for fun?
Well, we had our friends and we used to go on hay rides, and then I
Where did the hay come from?
Well, there used to be a stable, and you could get, it was on the hill too, but I don't know just where it was, and they'd get the wagon and the hay from the stable, and then the bunch would get together, and everybody pay so much, and then you rent it for so many hours with the driver. Then we used to go skating, but that was in Long Beach. We had to go skating. There was nothing on the Signal Hill for us. And I had wonderful parents. They used to always take us kids on weekends, you know, the different things. My dad would take us, like, to the zoo and places like that. That was all you had. Then you didn't have Disneyland. We'd go up to L.A. to the zoo, and we'd go to the alligator farm. We had Knott's Berry Farm, but it wasn't like it is now, but it was a lot of fun to go out there, too.
How did your father continue to work for the pipeline company while you were growing up?
Mm-hmm. And then when the Signal Hill Pipeline Company went into Robinson and Room, and he worked for them for a long time.
Were they a pipeline company too?
Uh-huh. And then he decided he'd go to welding. So he went to welding for, what the heck? I can't think of the name of the welding outfit, but they used to be Irwin Welding Works, and he worked for them. And then he was transferred to Bakersfield, and then I got married, so my husband and I rented the house from my parents, and they were buying it, and then my dad said to us one time, would we like to buy it? My husband said, sure. So we started buying the house, and that's why I have the house now.
I just thought of something that I should have asked you before. What was your family name? What were your parents' names?
Steele. My daddy was Jack Steele, and they called him Scotty in the oil fields. And my mother's was Jane Gibbs Steele. And I had two sisters, Elsie Jane, and her name now is Mrs. McElroy, and Hazel, and her name now is Mrs. Jackson.
And was there any place else around here that there was a business district? Was there a bank or anything like that?
Downtown in Long Beach.
That's where you had to go if you wanted to?
For anything. Long Beach was the place we went.
You never went? Like, you said one of the ways to go downtown was to go by Redondo?
Mm-hmm. Redondo Avenue, you know.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
So, but you didn't go, like there was a Farmers and Merchants Bank over there and some other stores and stuff. You didn't go to that?
No, you got on that train on California Avenue. You didn't get off till you got Pine Avenue.
You just looked at it when you went by.
And it wasn't developed like it is now either.
How did things change on Signal Hill as more and more oil wells were drilled?
Got more and more people too. And more businesses sprung up.
What kind of businesses?
Well, like restaurants and welding works and bit refacing or something. I don't know what they call it, where they redid the bits that they used to drill the wells with. No, there was no used car lots then. They came later.
More houses built for people to live in around here?
I think there was a lot more houses built then. But the area where I live, it hasn't changed. There's only been three new buildings since we moved there. And two that were moved in.
So was it built, the area where you live, was it built before oil was discovered, essentially?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Nearly all the houses on the street where I live were built between the years of 1921 and 1931.
When you went to Polly and Hamilton, how did you get there? Didn't you
walk?
Go on the streetcar?
No, we walked.
All the way to Polly?
There was a group of us, the kids, and we always walked. We could have rode the bus if we wanted to one way, but we didn't. But when we went to Burnett School, sometimes we'd get on the bus to bring us home if we were tired. And it would let us off at, it let us off at 23rd and Orange Avenue. Then we'd have to walk the rest of the way home, which was about as far as we walked all the way home. But it was the thrill of getting that school bus ride.
Oh, okay. Where did you study at Polly?
I took a strictly business course at Polly. I had to take English and history and physical ed because they were required of you. that I took from a teacher by the name of Ari Oliver, who was a good business teacher. I took typing and bookkeeping and dictaphone machines and adding office machines from him. And of course you had to take your home management course and sewing and cooking.
You look like maybe that you didn't think that was useful thing to learn in school.
Well, I didn't mind learning it at school, but I didn't think that they, things that they have you cook was things that you had to have more expensive foods, and my parents were living on a set income and everything, and we didn't have a whole lot of money, and we couldn't afford to buy whipping cream all the time and stuff like that. Most of the things you made called for expensive ingredients. And in sewing, I don't know. I just don't like sewing, period, so I guess that's why I didn't like it in school.
Did you already know how to cook and stuff, things like that from learning from your mother?
Right. My mother was a good teacher, and she could really make a real good, attractive meal out of nothing. I don't think there's anybody knew how to fix a pound of hamburger any more ways than what my mom did. She could really fix hamburger up good.
So that wasn't too useful to you. The business machines was more useful.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you did postgraduate work at Poly. What did you?
Well, they had two bungalows back there, and you could go at night school and take advanced typing and advanced shorthand and things like that, and I went and did that. And then the job I took, I never got to use the shorthand.
Was it from the same teacher?
No, it was a lady teacher that had that.
And how did you, you said you worked for a company that's where Frank Brothers is now. How did you get the job right out of high school?
I went to work, well, I worked at S.H. Crescent Company during vacations and weekends.
Downtown?
Mm-hmm. And then I got this job. A friend of mine had worked there, and she was quitting, so she asked me if I'd like to work there. She was older than I was, and I said I'd like to try it. So she talked to the boss, who was Earl W. Hawkins. He said, sure, so I went over, and he hired me.
So, you went to work for Earl W. Hawkins?
Uh-huh.
And what did you do?
Well, I was supposed to keep the books and be the cashier and his secretary, but I wound up sweeping out the office and decorating the windows and taking inventory and being general doflunky. But I liked it.
And tell me again what kind of a business it was.
It was an auto exchange and wrecking company in marine hardware. In other words, he'd buy a car, and if it looked like a pretty good car, the fellows in the yard would fix it up and he'd sell it as a secondhand car. But if it wasn't too, it was too badly worked, they would dismantle it and then we'd sell the parts. And you had to keep a record of every car he bought, the license number, the engine number, and each part that was sold, you had to mark it down and what he paid for the car and what he made for the parts. And in those days, they made big profit on the parts.
What was the marine hardware part?
Oh, he had boat supplies. He was a fanatic for boats himself, so he had anchors and nuts and bolts and paint and bottom paint and stuff like that to keep up your boat with. And he had horns and things that they needed aboard ships.
So he didn't do business with the oil company?
No. See, he was in Long Beach.
But not too far?
No, not too far, because I could walk to work from where I lived.
And it wasn't too far from the PE tracks either, then?
No. They ran right up the street, Long Beach Boulevard.
And, okay, then you got married.
Right.
Seems like there's something I was going to ask you before that. Anyway. Oh, did you have any other jobs except working for Chris before you went to work for him?
Oh, I used to babysit, too, to make extra money.
For whom?
A babysit for a man that worked for Shell Oil Company and lived on Cedar Avenue for him and his wife. They had little twin boys. And then I worked for a lady by the name of Mrs. Brown, and she had a boy and a girl.
Okay, and Then you got married to Mr. McClanahan.
Right.
Could you tell his first name?
Roland. R-O-L-A-N-D.
And did you get married in a church?
We got married in the Baptist Church in Bakersfield because my father and mother were living in Bakersfield at that time.
And had they rented out the house or what?
My husband and I rented the house.
But I mean...
No, my sisters and I lived in the house.
Oh, they went. Your parents went to Bakersfield and you stayed in the house. So when you went to get married, you went to where your parents were.
Right. Got married in Bakersfield.
And then did you move into that house right away?
Mm-hmm.
Or... And did your sister stay there, or did they...
My one sister stayed with us until she got her job, and then she left and went to live with my mom and dad in Bakersfield, and she worked for the Kern General Hospital in Bakersfield. And my baby sister always stayed with my mom and dad.
And what did Mr. McClanahan do for a living?
He worked for Fellows and Stewart's Shipbuilding Yard at Terminal Island as a diesel mechanic.
And was he born around here? Did
he was born in Los Angeles on Edgeware Road in L.A.
And do you know what his family did, what his father did?
His father was a carpenter, and he had a brother that was a contractor in the city of Avalon, paper hanging and interior decorating.
On Catalina?
And my nephew is still at Catalina's, a paper hanger and interior decorator.
And did your husband go to school in Los Angeles then?
Right.
And how did you meet him?
At my aunt's house.
Where did your aunt live?
She lived in L.A. and she had us all there 1 year for Thanksgiving, and Rolly's mama was not feeling good, so she fixed a plate for Rolly's mother and had my cousin take it to her and invite Rolly to come to dinner, so he came to dinner. Then we went to the races, and then we started going together from then on.
Was this your mother's sister or your father's?
My mother's sister.
And how did she get to California?
Well, my family came originally from Scotland, and my mother came, my father came from Scotland first and went to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and worked as a dispenser of medicines at the Philadelphia Hospital. And my mother's sister was head of the nursing staff there. So she wrote my mom and told my mom that my father was going with some nurse, so my mother sent him back his ring and told him that'd be the end. So my daddy wrote back and told her that she better get herself out here so they could get married. So he sent my mom the money to come from Scotland out here, and they were married in Fort Valley, Georgia. And then my other aunt, she had left home, Scotland, before my mother did, and they went to Canada. And her and my uncle and cousin lived in Canada, and then things got real rough from there, so they came and moved in with my mom and dad when we were in L.A. And then my uncle got a job, and my aunt got a job, and then they moved to their own home.
And they lived there the rest of their lives?
In L.A.
Yeah.
My aunt died in L.A., my uncle died in L.A.
You said you went to the races with your future husband?
Right. He loved to drive race cars at the old Ascot Speedway.
Oh.
And he worked as a mechanic at the old Ascot Speedway.
In
Los Angeles. The old one. They have an Ascot Speedway in Gardenia, but they used to have one up in L.A. in the hills up there. I couldn't tell you where it was because I don't know.
Okay. But he was a mechanic.
Uh-huh.
And this was how did he get to work at Terminal Island? Was there a convenient...
Oh, by the time we got married, he had a car and he could go. He drove himself to work.
And did he work there until he retired?
He was there until he had to retire early because he had got the lung cancer. And so he retired early, but he worked there for 35 years.
And you lived in the same place?
I moved in there with my mom and dad in 1922, and I'm still there. And I have no intentions of moving. everybody says a two-bedroom home and you live there by yourself, but it's home to me. It has a lot of real pleasant memories.
I want to ask you how the area around developed, and I don't quite know how to ask you that. After you were married, when you needed food or whatever, where did you go to the store? Was it the same places? Or
same places that I went when I was, except we had to go up to Wardlow Road, and then on Saturday nights or Friday nights, we'd go down and park the car on 7th Street and do our shopping at a Smith's Market that was there on Pine, just off of 7th. And we'd get our groceries and put them in the rumble seat of the car, then walk down and have our dinner at a Scotchman's restaurant right where Lerner's dress shop is now. And we'd have our supper there, then we'd go on down the pike to the Strand Theater to see Jack Russell and company in a vaudeville show. Then we'd come back, get in the car, drive out Long Beach Boulevard to the Navajo and have a Navajo special and then come home.
What's a Navajo special?
It was a hamburger place like, and they would take a French roll and put your hamburger on it. And then they take like a chili sauce and pour it all over it, and it was delicious.
So you had lunch on Pine?
Our supper on Pine Avenue, then we went for a midnight snack, as my husband always called it.
And what else did you do for amusement? Did you belong to the Masonic Lodge or any of that kind of stuff, or was it still there?
No, whenever we had any spare time, we always used to take and go up to Bakersfield to see my mom and dad. Or we'd take and go up to Santa Monica or down to San Diego or something like that. We didn't have very much money to spend on amusements.
Yeah.
So you had to, you know, entertain yourself more or less.
Yeah. Did you belong to a church then?
Mm-hmm. At that time we were going to the West Side, not West Side, First Christian Church down on Locust.
Yeah. And you said at some point that you came back to a church on Signal Hill?
Mm-hmm. I go now to a church on, I think it's 20th, I can't tell you, just off of Cherry Avenue.
Well, as long as you know how to get there.
It's a little church. It's not a very big church. In fact, they could do with a lot more members. But I enjoy the Sunday school teacher that I have there. She can really enlighten me a lot on the Bible, and I enjoy that.
But you said there was another church that you went to in between that.
Bethany Baptist,
yeah.
That used to be on Olive and Hill Street.
And about what, during what time did you go there?
That was after I had my son. So that must have been about, oh, I'd say from 39 to about 42.
And why did they move?
They got too big for the little church there, so they got a little bit more money than what they knew what to do with, I guess, and built that big church over on. They have a nice school there now, too, where kids can go. But the building is still standing there, and there's still a church in it.
What year did you get married? Is that a hard question, or?
No. Married in 34. April, but got married Easter Sunday anyhow, 1934.
Then you were still living with your parents at the time of the earthquake.
Right. I wasn't married at the time of the earthquake either and got scared to death.
What were you doing?
Well, my husband, to-be, was at the house helping my father, and he bought a friend of his, Ray, and they were installing different windows in the kitchen because my mom and dad had just changed the kitchen and added onto the house. And my husband-to-be was in the garage, and he thought Ray had slammed the door shut on him. So he was calling Ray all kinds of naughty names. And my mom was fixing dinner for us all, and Ray's mom had come down, too.
And I was taking the dishes from the china closet out to set the table, which was now our dining room, used to be our kitchen. And my feet went from underneath me. But not a plate got broke.
Really? That's incredible.
Yeah, and in the house that we live in, not a window got broke, nothing got damaged with the earthquake, except two bricks fell out of a make-believe fireplace we had.
Even the windows that they were working on?
They didn't get broke, nothing got broke.
Wow.
But then along come the explosion from the, I think it was a Richfield refinery that was on Walton.
Yeah.
And it knocked every window in the house out, and all our ceilings fell down.
But at least you had the dishes safe by then.
Yeah.
The ceilings fell in?
Yeah, well, I can't remember. I think it was the next year after the earthquake we had the explosion. I don't really remember. I think that's when it was. But it really did the damage to our house. In fact, we had to move out of the house while it was being repaired. Then we moved over into an old two-story house on 25th in Pasadena. I think we were out of our house for about 3 months. And the American Red Cross helped pay the rent for the house we had to rent while our other one was being repaired.
Richfield didn't help?
Oh, yeah, but you had a... they didn't give you the money until afterwards. And I think for all the damage and everything that was done, I think my mom and dad got something like $500. And my mother was injured in it.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
She got cut very badly with glass when she was by the window. And my sister Hazel got cut with glass. And I got cut with glass. And they gave my sister and I $50. And they paid my mother's doctor bill and hospital bill. And then I think it was something like $500 they gave them to fix the house up with.
Did that cover the cost of fixing it?
No. But then insurance never does pay for the full amount of repairing anything. They just pay a certain percentage and then you're held for the rest of it.
Yeah, were there any other big deal events like that on Signal Hill?
Other than the fire, and at the time of the fire, we lived in L.A., and my dad come home from work and loaded my mother and us three girls in the car and brought us back down to see the big fire on Signal Hill. And it was just like the whole sky was lit up. The firemen were working, you could see the water that they were spraying on. I don't think they had the chemicals that they fight fires with now. Then I think it was just water they had to use. But those were good old days.
Yeah. You were... How did things change then into the 30s and after you were married as the war came closer and people started preparing for the war and did the economy pick up? And
well, I think more women got jobs and went to work, but my husband wouldn't let me go to work.
Well, he must have had more work at the shipyard.
He did. He worked straight 24 hours before he'd ever get to come home. If a ship come in that had to be repaired, then they'd have to work. And lots of times he would work 12, 14 hours a day. And sometimes, I can remember one time when he worked 24 shifts. And he come home and went to bed, and I thought he died because I couldn't wake him up. And I called my mom, and she come from Bakersfield, but he was all right then. She woke him up. I was quite a mama's girl. Well, I had a lot of faith in my mama because she was a registered nurse, and she had received her training in Scotland. And I know if it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't have had my baby now because he was premature.
You said women started going to work about that time. Did women that lived around you start working? Or?
Some of them did. Not all of them, but some of them did. And my baby sister at that time, she'd come back to Long Beach, and she was a beauty operator. And she was a beauty operator, and she worked over in Wilmington. And she made good money at the beauty shop because the ladies that worked in the shipyards would come in to get their hair combed out in the mornings. But she'd have to go to work early. And she worked late.
Did women go to work with your husband at Fellows and Stewart?
Mm-hmm. Sure, they hired women there at Fellows and Stewart.
What kind of jobs did they do? Did he ever tell you?
They did mostly, like, I don't know what it contained, but burning with torches, like, well, when they'd burn stuff. And they would do the cleanup work, keeping the place clean for the workmen. But the work that my husband did was heavy work, so there was no women in that, because they had to handle those great big old heavy diesels. And they used to, when they'd launch a boat at Fellows and Stewart's, then they'd have a luncheon, and the wives of the, they would draw so many numbers out of the hat, and if the, that was your husband's badge number, then you got invited to the luncheon, and they put on real nice luncheons. I got to go to a couple of them.
Did you see ships launched or what?
Mm-hmm. You got to sit on the platform and see them break the bottle of champagne over. And Mrs., the shipyard my husband worked for was Fellows and Stewart's, and Mrs. Fellows and Mrs. Stewart's were just one of the workersman's wife. They never had any airs about them at all. They were just as nice and friendly as they could be. And you all sat at a big long table, and there was no difference from the president or the vice president of the company. You were just treated like all of them. I hate to see that shipyard go under.
Yeah, You said you have a son?
Mm-hmm.
And he was, about when was he born?
He was born April the 2nd, 1936.
In Signal Hill or in a hospital?
He was born in a community hospital.
And?
He weighed 3 pounds and 6 ounces when he was born, was 12 inches long. He was a little preemie. Now he's over 6 foot tall and weighs 200 pounds or better.
Well, you must have said it well.
Well, I think it was my mother, really, because she got some old country stuff and mixed it with water, and he had that mixed with his milk. And she, really, the doctor told us at one time he didn't think the baby would live, and that's why he let me bring him home. But my mom fooled him.
And did he go to school on Signal Hill?
Sure, he had some of the same teachers I had at Old Burnett School.
Really?
Right. Mrs. Melvin and Mrs. Fisher were my teachers, and my son had both of them. And he had Mrs. Coates at Poly High, and I had Mrs. Coates at Poly High.
Is there any, the reason that the people at Burnett School are looking into the history of their school?
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything else that you can remember about Burnett School? That's wonderful that your son had the same teachers you did. Can you think of any other things like that? Did the school look the same when he went there?
No.
Or was it all changed after the earthquake?
See, after the earthquake, they had to rebuild it all. And that's when they built it, the one-level school. No, it was entirely different when he went there. And Polly was different when he went there.
Is Burnett pretty much now the way it was built back after the earthquake or not?
Well, it has more bungalows and things on it now. See, after the earthquake, there was just the two buildings was all there was there, and all these other ones have been added since the earthquake.
Yeah, you said there was a two-story building when you went there.
Right.
Did they expand that any before the earthquake, or was it just what you remembered that fell down in the earthquake?
It was just the way it was. They hadn't expanded any before the earthquake. It was what went in the earthquake.
And then when your son went there,
it was
the rebuilt school?
Right.
And there were two buildings?
Right. And Polly was rebuilt when he went there. It wasn't the same Polly that I went to. The Polly I went to was the old two-story Polly with a big dome on the top. And we didn't have a fence up around it. We had our own athletic field in the back of it, but now that's all taken in with shops and stuff.
And was Hamilton there or not? Did he go to a different junior high school?
No, he went to, well, see, he got to go to Hamilton Junior High School, I think, for, oh, maybe 6 months. And then he was transferred out to Hughes because Hughes was completed. And BT&D took over the old Hamilton. But he didn't have any of the teachers I had at Hughes nor at Hamilton. Of course, I didn't go to Hughes because it wasn't even built then.
Right. Right. But that's incredible about Burnett. I like that.
Yeah. Burnett was the school at that time.
And how far away did kids come from when you went there?
I don't know. It seemed like there was enough of kids just in that area. I think Burnett's district then went from there over to Pacific Avenue because there was no other schools over there then.
Yeah, but there was another school maybe to the north called Kosaboom or something like that?
I don't remember that. I know they built Longfellow up on Bixby Road after that, and then they built, don't even know the name of it, one over off of Delta and down off of Willow Street.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Okay, during the war there was a lot of activity in the shipyard. Was there a lot of activity on Signal Hill?
Well, to me, after they discovered oil, Signal Hill was quite an active little town, but I don't think it got any more during the war years than there was before.
Did you pay attention to the politics of the city?
No. I'm not much at politics. In fact, since I've got older, it seems like I take more interest in it than I did when I was younger.
You didn't follow the adventures of the politicians? How did you know